Well, I'd like to read a couple of verses to begin with tonight in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And I'd like to say a little bit about John Mark and then just to maybe notice a couple things in the Gospel of Mark, which you all have been going through here on Wednesday evenings. But I'd like to read in Mark 4 and read, because of time, we'll just read perhaps one verse, and that'll be verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is in reference to the sower that sowed that good seed, which is the word of God. Now in verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. We'll stop right there. Now, I read that verse in Mark 4 and verse 20 because, you see, we have the parable of the sower in Matthew's Gospel, and we also have it here in Mark's Gospel, where the emphasis is perhaps more on what the sower did. That is, he sowed the seed. And in Luke's Gospel, perhaps the emphasis is more on the seed, which is the Word of God. But this sower, which is the Lord Jesus, as he went forth to sow, the emphasis on what he did, he sowed the good seed. And we find the results of the good seed that fell on the good ground. We're not going to talk about the other kinds of ground that seed fell on tonight. But the seed that fell on the good ground, you notice it brought some for 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now perhaps you noticed in the readings that you had recently, perhaps in this chapter, that it's a little different than what you have in Matthew's Gospel, where it says some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So in Matthew's Gospel, the crop or the harvest is going down, and in Mark's Gospel, it's going up. And, you know, in the life of John Mark and the life of every one of us, you know, the Lord desires that there would be increase. And that today we please the Lord more than we pleased the Lord yesterday. And that we walked more intelligently for the Lord. And there was more response of love and affection to the Lord Jesus today than there was yesterday. And that should be our whole life long. There should be this increase in our life. But you know, sometimes in our life we have ups and downs, don't we? We have some hills and we have some valleys. But I think the little lesson, we'll look at this a little bit with John Mark, as we find out how John Mark started, and we're going to see a little bit how he ended up. That he ended up, you might say, bringing forth fruit 100-fold. Now, I also read regarding this man that cast seed into the ground and how this seed, how it grows, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of the ear. And you know, God works in this world in a way that we can't really discern. And he works in the souls of men in a way that we really can't discern either. You know, when I was younger, and maybe the kids still like doing this, sometimes you would have this little drawing. It looked like a maze. And you were supposed to see something in it. And if you strained real hard, perhaps you could see it. But what you did was it had like a covering, a clear plastic covering, but it had a certain tinge to it, whether it was green or red or something. And then when you pulled that tinge over, then you got to see the picture that was on the sheet of paper. But as long as it was up, it looked like a bunch of lines and confusion. But when you brought that colored clear plastic sheet over it, then you could see something clearly. And you know, sometimes we might look at one another and we might see this doesn't seem to be a lot going on there. We may look at the things in the world and how God's working. We might not be able to see a great deal, but you know, God sees things entirely different. And it's just like you have that clear colored plastic screen that goes over, and then you see something in a different perspective that you might not see. And so, you know, in our our lives. God is doing a private and a hidden work. And He sees every little development, and He sees every little bit of growth, and He sees all these things, and it's very precious to Him. And He sees when there's affection that is expanded in our heart for the Lord. And all these things are very valuable to Him, but it's a hidden work that the Lord does in the heart of every one of us. So I just wanted to read those verses to begin with, as we turn to a few verses now about John Mark, because we just might read a history, but God works in His own ways inside of our hearts, as He did with John Mark, in a way that might have been hidden to men, but it was not hidden to Him. And we see how there will be increase in the life of John Mark. So let's turn to Acts chapter 12 to get started here, because this is where we find the beginning of John Mark. Now you remember Peter had been thrown into prison, and the Lord brought him out of prison. And it's nice to see when Peter was free where he went. He went right to the prayer meeting. And I'm sure that that was a prayer meeting where there was quite a bit of earnestness. When they came to that prayer meeting, they came to pray. Because, you know, they had dear brother James that was killed. And now Peter was going to be killed. And you know, the company of believers there, no doubt, was in great concern and exercise and fear about these dear brethren, one killed and another to be killed. And so when they came with a purpose to pray. Well, but they weren't perhaps quite expecting the Lord to answer the prayer. But now in verse 12, when Peter is sent by the angel, it says, "When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." We'll stop right there. So the first reference we have about John Mark personally and individually is that there was a prayer meeting in the house of his mother. It doesn't say that John Mark was there. I kind of like to think that he was. But you know, John Mark obviously grew up in a home, and perhaps his father was dead. There's no reference about his father. It was the house of his mother, Mary. John Mark was found at the prayer meeting, or the prayer meeting was in his house. You know, that's an important thing for all of us, isn't it? When we get started, that we start our lives with prayer, and also that the assembly has a place in our life. Well, isn't that a nice beginning for John Mark? He started out at the prayer meeting in his mother's house. Now let's turn. I'm going to make one more comment here before we leave this. It says also that many were gathered together praying. Many were gathered together. Now I think this is rather interesting, because we're not going to get into Mark's gospel a lot tonight. But you know, you read in Mark's gospel, and many times you read of a crowd or a multitude or many gathered together. Do you know that when the Lord, in the second chapter of Mark, there was a house and their people were so thick, even around the door it was crowded. You could hardly move. And another time, there perhaps it's in the, it's a few chapters later on, perhaps in the fifth chapter, when the Lord Jesus was with His disciples and the crowd just pressed on Him, and then that woman reached out her hand and touched the Lord because she wanted to be healed. And the Lord said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, they wondered, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at the crowd. It's just everyone's jammed together here, and you want to know who touched you? There's all kinds of people bumping into us and jostling us and touching us." Well, that's not what the Lord meant. He knew someone had touched Him in faith. But this is the point I want to draw from this. You know, sometimes we think of the Lord Jesus going through this world as a lonely servant, one that was always walking alone. And in many ways, that's true. He was often alone, and people didn't understand Him. But you know, in Mark's gospel, we have the Lord Jesus brought out as that perfect servant. You know, there's always a crowd around Him. And don't you feel it sometimes when there's a lot of crowd and a lot of pressure and people are bumping into you? You know, it's sometimes we find it's hard to stay near the Lord and in communion. And you even find when He healed that woman, someone interrupts Him and they have another problem. And you know, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus understands when we're in a crowd and perhaps we get pushed around and people interrupt us? He went through all of that. And even when He went way out to pray and a bunch of people came out there, He couldn't even pray without being interrupted. So the Lord Jesus understands all this. And here is John Mark. It says in this gospel that many were gathered together there in that prayer meeting. Perhaps there was a crowd there. And so he makes a notice of these touches in the gospel that he writes about often the crowds that the Lord Jesus had to walk through. And it's such an encouragement in this present day with all the pressures and all the stresses and all the crowds sometimes to realize the Lord knows all about that too, because he was in those situations. Well, let's go over to the 15th chapter of Acts now. And we're going to read something else about John Mark here. I'm sorry, I should have turned to the 13th chapter first. Acts 13 and verse, we'll just grab a couple verses here. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And now there was a situation that came up about Elymas the sorcerer that was deceitful, and then they had to speak to him sternly. Verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, that's the same as John Mark, departing from them or abandoning them, returned to Jerusalem. Now here's something else. Here was John Mark, and he had a good start, you might say, at the prayer meeting. And now something else comes up, and the Spirit of God tells these brethren there in Antioch to separate Barnabas and Saul, because the Lord had a special work for Barnabas and Saul to do. And you know, it doesn't say anything about separating John Mark. And I'm not going to find fault with Saul and Peter, but I sometimes feel that we lay some blame at John Mark's door because he abandoned them when he went with them in the work of the Lord. He left them. That wasn't a good thing, was it? To abandon the work of the Lord. And we say John Mark was a failing servant. But you know, we find that Barnabas and Saul took John Mark along with them. He was their servant. Maybe they needed some help with their bags or something. And you know, I think just a word, sometimes we can push younger ones forward. Perhaps they're ready before they're ready for it. And then when they fall, we say, well, you see, not ready for the work of the Lord. But you know, I don't know if it's John Mark's idea to go along with them. It seems that they had him to be a help. And it's nice to be an encouragement, but it's sort of a low point in the life of John Mark. He leaves the work of the Lord. And you know, isn't it nice? It's not nice that we read about failure, but isn't it nice to know that others have failed as well as we have? And sometimes we've stubbed our toe or we failed. Here's John Mark. He left the work of the Lord. And sometimes we might say, well, is there any hope? Is there any recovery because I have failed and I've dishonored the Lord? Well, we'll find that there is. And you know something else I want to slip in right here? I don't think we ever read of one word that John Mark spoke. And you know, as we want to follow on and please the Lord Jesus, we just have to leave it all with Him. And sometimes maybe it's hard, you know, if someone points out some failure that we've done. But John Mark says nothing about it. He's dependent upon others as to what they write about him. Well, we find here a real failure with John Mark. And now we're going to turn to chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do, or see how they get on." And Barnabas determined, or he proposed, to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed or had abandoned from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. You know, now Barnabas was John Mark's uncle. And the situation came up here where they were going to go again, and Barnabas thought, well, let's bring John Mark along. A little time has passed now, and nice to take him along. Perhaps he had a sympathetic view towards his nephew. And Paul says, no, I don't think it's a good idea. And you know, this is to me one of the sadder portions in the Word of God, because Barnabas was a dear man of God. He was the son of consolation. Here was a man that was a real comfort to the saints. And you know, he had a sharp disagreement with the Apostle Paul. And so they broke off from serving the Lord together. Before they'd served the Lord together hand in hand. And Barnabas said, I'm going with Mark. And so Paul went off and he had the fellowship of his brethren in taking Silas with him. And you don't read of Barnabas again but one other time. And we'll turn to that in just a moment. So this is a real sad thing, I'm sure, for the saints. And now Paul goes on in service with Silas. And now John Mark, this servant, he goes out with Barnabas. Now you say, here's some of the silent years that come in. You don't read of Barnabas again, and you don't read of John Mark again, I don't believe, until Colossians chapter 4. So let's just turn there. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul is passing on some of the greetings of the saints. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Now, isn't that interesting? Where Paul is passing on John Mark's greetings to the assembly. And Paul had sent special orders or instructions with respect to John Mark that if he showed up, they were to receive him. And he says he had given him special instruction. You know, something must have happened. You know, like that ear and that blade and that ear and that full corner in the ear is the wheat or the crop as it grows and develops in secret where no eye can see it. You know, something must have happened between Acts 15 and Colossians 4 before Paul says, no, John Mark's not going to go with us. And now he says, if he comes, you receive him, because John Mark had something perhaps helpful for the saints. And you don't know all this time period, God was working in the heart of John Mark. And you know, we don't read of Barnabas again either, I don't believe, until this chapter. And isn't that nice to think about that dear man of God? He's taken out of the limelight. And you know, Barnabas perhaps could share with John Mark many things as they work together. And I like to think of the fruit of John Mark was the fruit of Barnabas' restoration. And that John Mark was now helpful. And Paul recognized that. So isn't that interesting? After Paul had said, no, he shouldn't come with us. Now he writes many years later to an assembly, if he comes, you receive him. Now let's turn to one more passage, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, because it gets even better here. In fact, you can stay at chapter 4, but I want to read just a few verses in this book. I'm going to read one in verse of chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1:15. Paul says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Then chapter 4, I'm going to jump down to verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Then up to verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, 2 Timothy was the last epistle that Paul wrote, and there he was in prison, and the cold wind was coming in, and so he wanted a cloak to be brought in, because no doubt it was cold in the prison cell. And he says, all that are in Asia have forsaken me, or deserted me. And then he speaks of other times when all forsook him, and now Demas had forsaken him. And here was Paul seeing the brethren here and the brethren there leaving him and forsaking him and abandoning him. And there's a young man named Timothy that it was a great encouragement to Paul. And you know, Paul knew someone that would be a real help to Timothy. He knew someone that would be a real help and encouragement to Timothy. And you know who that was? He was someone that had abandoned Paul a long time ago. But he wasn't abandoning him now, and it was John Mark. So you know, John Mark had abandoned the work of the Lord early in his days. But many years down the road, all the saints were giving up and going away. And there was John Mark. He had gone away too before, but now he was restored. And Paul knew that Timothy needed, you might say, an encouragement. And you say, he'll bring John Mark with you. He'd be a help and an encouragement. And he's a prophet to Paul's ministry. Do you see how in John Mark, how there's growth? Started off small, you might say, and then he took a dip. But then the Lord raised him up again. We don't know how he did it, but he did it behind the scenes. And so John Mark was useful. Now, something else is rather interesting that, you know, Timothy's father, he probably wasn't a believer. He was a Gentile. And Paul could speak of Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother Lois, that encouraged him in the things of God. And these dear women had a remarkable influence in the life of Timothy. And just so with John Mark, you don't read of anything about his father, but you read of his mother, Mary. And now it appears that John Mark and Timothy were both young men that Paul sought to encourage. And now these two young brothers are brought together in the very end, at the very end of Paul's life, to be an encouragement and a help and a blessing to him. Now I'm going to ask a question. First, I'm going to make this statement. Though in Luke 17, it speaks about those. It says, when we have done all we have been commanded to do, we have to say that we're unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. And in service, if we do everything that we're told to do perfectly and everything, we didn't forget anything, the best we could do was to be an unprofitable servant, because that's what was expected out of us. And so as we take up, you might say, things according to the law, the best we could do is to be an unprofitable servant. But now I'm going to ask you a question. Who were two men that were called profitable? You might say two men that were profitable servants. I think you can get one right off. Who can help on that? Well, I look at verse 11. Is that okay to say that John Mark was a profitable servant? Paul said, he's profitable unto me. You know, here was a man that had failed and he deserted the work of the Lord, but he's a profitable servant. We speak of John Mark as a failing servant, but Paul says he's profitable. And then there was another man. Think about this one. Here's a man that he robbed his master and he took off and he ended up in jail. Stole from his master. Think of that. And he got saved through the ministry of Paul in prison. You got it? Onesimus, yes. And he said, and Paul says in the book of Philemon, that he's profitable, which is profitable to you and me. And so here are these two men that the grace of God picks up. They both had failed. One had left the work of the Lord. One had robbed his master. But you know, those are two men that God picks up. It says, they are profitable servants. And that's what the grace of God can do. You know, we all fail so much, but isn't it wonderful to see the restoring work of God and how God works, you might say, behind the scenes, and He works in our hearts, and He works when there's no eye that sees, and He can take one like John Mark and make him profitable. Here's a man that never said a word about his service or what he was doing. He just wrote of the perfect servant, the Lord Jesus. But now, just as we wrap it up here, there's just a couple things I want to mention. And I'm sure you've probably gone over this before in the readings here. But you know, if you're like me, sometimes you get this idea of service for the Lord is maybe if you teach a Sunday school class, that's service for the Lord. Or if you go to the jail, like some brethren back home do, that's service for the Lord. Or maybe you pass out some gospel tracts in the community. That's service for the Lord. But you know, in Colossians, Paul writes to these men that were slaves, these people that were slaves, And he says to them as they would serve their slave master, he said, "Ye serve the Lord Christ." You know, all that we do, we're servants, aren't we? Now I want to make a point here. When we realize that we're all servants for the Lord, one thing that you'll notice in in Mark's gospel is when the Lord did something, he did it immediately or straightway or anon. He means he did something right away. And you know, in service, and this is something for the benefit of the children, and I need it too, that obedience is immediate. It's right away. It's prompt. The Lord Jesus was the perfect servant. When he did something, he did it right away and obedient. And that's something that we can follow on in the Lord Jesus as our perfect example. Well, I think that'll about do it. Just wanted to say a few things about John Mark. And you know, it's an encouragement for us to start out well, to start out at the prayer meeting. And then in our life, and if you haven't hit a valley yet, you're probably going to come into one. And the Lord sometimes has to show us that, you know, we just don't have it all down like maybe we thought we did. And there's failure that comes in. And then the enemy comes in at those times and just says, "You've blown it. You're useless." But you know, God begins to work in our souls and our hearts. And then we find in the story of John Mark that the end was better than the beginning. And he was helpful. And then in the day when everyone was giving up and going away, there was one more person that the Apostle Paul could refer to as profitable, and that was John Mark. Well, let's just commit us to the Lord.